أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Now tonight we discuss the sources on Al-Mahdi alayhi salam and specifically tonight we speak of some verses of the Quran. Of course when we come to Hadith I think the traditions are so abundant that we cannot cover them. Probably what we will do, we do not cover the traditions which directly talk about Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. As I said, because there are too many, we just talk about some other traditions which imply that there should always be an Imam. And basically, we cannot be without Hujjah. And that, of course, we have plenty of these traditions in both Sunni and Shi'i sources. So we may cover some of them. But now, today, on the Quran, one question always is asked: why there is no mention of such very important personalities or concepts in the Quran? Why, if the Shi'a say that Imam Ali was appointed by the Prophet, peace be on him, why his name is not mentioned in the Quran? If Imam Mahdi is so important as a person in the whole Islamic theology and thoughts, why his name, or at least just an allusion to the concept of Mahdi, is not made in the Quran? Now, Quran, you know, is a very stylistic book. It speaks in a very stylish language. It doesn't usually directly allude to things. It's a spiritual book. It tells you that you have to pray, but it doesn't tell you how many rak'ahs a day, when. It just gives a hint, لَدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ إِلَىٰ غَسَقَ اللَّيْلِ, from when the sun goes inclined from the middle of the sky towards the night, you pray. But it doesn't say really what time, how many rak'ahs, how to pray. Is there anything more important than prayer in Islam? No. As-salatu amududin. Salat is the pillar of the faith. There's nothing more important than that. But you see, there is no mention of the way you have to pray, how many rak'ahs, how many sajdahs, what to say in your ruku, what to say in your sujood. These are left for the Prophet, peace be on him, to explain. وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرِ, we have sent down to you this reminder, لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزَّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ, you have to explain to them what I mean by these verses. So it's very important that the Quran cannot be separated from the Prophet, peace be on him, or from his Sunnah, or from his traditions, explanations, interpretations. It is impossible to do that. And therefore, if we find an authentic explanation of something in the Quran from the Prophet, peace be on him, in our sources, we have to stick to it. Now, the question might, of course, come again that, okay, you say about Salat, you say about Zakat, the Quran doesn't say how much Zakat you have to pay. Or if the Quran talks about Imamah, of course. The Quran talks about Wilayah. إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. Your wali is Prophet and the Messenger and those who pray and pay zakat while they are bowing down in ruku. But it doesn't specifically mention the name. But this concept of wilaya, if it's mentioned, the person of it is so important that there should be a mention of it in the Quran. We can see that according to our interpretation, of course we have different interpretations, different understandings, according to our understanding, Shia understanding, we see that when the verse number 3 in Surah Al-Ma'idah was revealed, Ya Ayyuhar Rasul, sorry, verse number 3 is Al-Yawm Akmaltu Lakum Deenukum. دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي وَرَضِيْتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Okay, you say Prophet said this is meant, what was meant by this is that wilayah has come now. The person is specified. And then the verse comes, يَا أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولُ بَلَّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَهُ. Convey what is revealed to you. If you do not do that, you have not conveyed the Risalah, as you have conveyed nothing. All the revelation up to now you have conveyed will be vain and waste if you do not convey this last message that I tell you. Now, we, according to our interpretation and our understanding of the history, about 100,000 companions of the Prophet were present, and the Prophet, after the revelation of this verse, took Ali's hand and said, مَنْ كُنْتُ مَوْلَىٰ فَهَذَا عَلِيٌ مَوْلَىٰ. And it's abundant in all sources, Sunni and Shi'i sources. However, after the Prophet, no one took heed of that. They interpreted it in a different way. Now, suppose the name of Ali has come in the Quran that إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمْ Ali. We accept that. إِنَّمَا الْخَلِيفَ بَعْدَ الرَّسُولِ Ali. Okay, what do you mean by Khalifa? Like Adam was a Khalifa, Ali is a Khalifa, but not a political leader, for example. I mean, there's always room to interpret things. This is not the right way to determine what should Allah say in the Quran, what shouldn't say in the Quran. He knows what he should say in the Quran. And then, if Muslims did not take heed of what the Prophet said, then how would it be safe for the Quran to remain intact if, for example, people did not want this verse to be there, did not want Ali to be the Khalifa to the Prophet, peace be on him? And of course, Allah says, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا ذِكْ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. We protect this verse. However, we protect it, of course, in the way that we know. And one of the ways of protection is that we do not put things in it which would give incentive to people to tamper with it. Maybe. This is according to our understanding. Anyhow, if there is something definite, if there is an interpretation of a verse from the Prophet which definitely tells us that what this verse is alluding to, then we have to stick to it. No matter whether the verse has explicitly and clearly has spoken about that thing, or in a subtle way. Because both Sunni and Shia believe that Quran has subtle meanings as well as apparent meanings. إِنَّ لِلْقُرْآنِ بَطْنٌ. There is a subtle meaning in every verse. And for beneath that subtle meaning is another more subtle meaning, and so on and so forth. Now, the verses which are mentioned about this concept are, of course, in Shi'i sources they are more abundantly mentioned as the ta'wil of some of the verses of the Quran. Numerous verses in the Holy Quran have been interpreted as pointing to the emergence of Mahdi alayhi salam. Some have put number of these verses to exceed 500. Now you might say, where are these verses in the Quran every day or every Ramadan? We don't see these verses. However, many of them are esoteric ta'wil of the verse rather than its clear indication or implication. It's not something that we can actually understand. If the Imam has said that, for example, this is alluding to the time of Mahdi, or this is alluding to Mahdi, then we say, okay, this is a subtle meaning, we do not understand it, the Imam has conveyed to us the subtle meaning. However, there are four verses which are considered to be more explicit in this regard, and of course, by a sort of rational analysis of the verses, we would realize that they should allude to something which has not yet happened and is going to happen in the future. What are these four verses? The first verse is هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions. Now the implication is clear, that we do not see during the history that this religion of truth has ever prevailed over all religions in all parts of the world, because the verse is very absolute in its indication that this should prevail over all other religions. Now, this statement has been repeated 3 times in the Quran verbatim, that just this statement, which is part of a verse, is not complete verse. This statement has been mentioned 3 times in different verses, with some nuances, of course, in the other part of the verse. Now, in reverse order, these verses are. Why in reverse order? Because the exegetes, when they have discussed the verse, they have discussed it in the first place when it has appeared, which is Surah At-Tawbah. However, the one place which is which the statement appears in Surah As-Saff. يُرِيدُونَ لَيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ هُوَ الَّذِي This is the statement. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. They desire to put out the light of God in their mouth, but Allah shall perfect His light. Now, this is the emphasis. When will Allah shall perfect His light? Was it perfected at the time of the Prophet? That means, did the whole world benefit from this light? Or this is going to happen later on in the future? Though the faithless should be averse, it is He who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail, Allah make it prevail, over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse. This is the last place in the Quran where this verse has appeared. I have made Jesus nice very in a quick haste, so there are some problems here. Now the other phrase in Surah Fath, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ, and then the remainder of the verse is different. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions. And the first place where it appears in the Quran is in Surah Tawbah. يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. Now this is more emphatic. وَيَأْبَى اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَن يُتِمَّ نُورَهُ وَلَوْ كَرَهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. And then هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ. They desire to put out the light of Allah with their mouth, but Allah is intent on perfecting His light. Nothing can prevent this, that Allah will perfect His light. As I said, some might may interpret this as, well, at the time of the Prophet this happened. Allah perfected His light by giving whatever instruction was necessary to the Prophet, peace be on him. However, all these troubles, dissensions, various directions that the Muslims went, if the light was perfected, if the guidance that Allah wanted really prevailed, why all these differences, misunderstandings, fighting, battles among Muslims, one battle of companions against each other, Ali, peace be on him, fighting Muawiyah, fighting Talha, fighting Zubayr. Why this confusion? If the light was perfected, why this confusion was there? Now, see what Sayyid Qutb has said in his tafsir fi Zilal al-Qur'an. Maybe most of you have heard about Sayyid Qutb. He was one of the leading intellectuals of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. And he was executed because of his somehow extreme ideas. And some people today say that he was actually the inspirer of Al-Qaeda and other groups who took arms to fight against injustice. However, he was a vociferous intellectual against injustice and wanting Muslims to prevail. And in his tafsir, you can see this, the way he speaks about this verse. His tafsir is the Zinal al-Qur'an, in the shade, under the shade of Qur'an. He says, the Muslims realized this promise initially. So, this is the promise. لِيُظْهَرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. So, the promise means it comes afterwards. He says, initially, during the era of the Prophet and the four caliphs, and those who came after them, for a long time, Muslims realized this. Islam prevailed, and its light was glowing very brightly everywhere in the world, but later on, the Muslims retracted and retreated and gave way because the enemy grew strong. However, this is not the end, and the promise of God still holds, and it shall come true. Now, he doesn't say anything about Mahdi or whatever. He says that this should come true. This statement cannot fail, because if it fails, the Quran has failed, isn't it? If the statement of لِيُظْهَرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ fails, the Quran has failed. So he says it still holds. Now, he was a politician, so he thinks in terms of power. And power, yes, if you want to talk about power, Muslims for several centuries did have power. But was this power based on guidance and light of God, or based on killing, massacring, fighting among each other at the time of Banu Umayyah, at the time of Banu Abbas, afterwards? Can we really say that Muslims had realized this لِيُظْهَرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ? And did they? I mean, the Crusades proved that at least they were equal in power, the Christians and Muslims. There were lots of victories and defeats on both sides. So you cannot say that they really realized this and they were victorious. If you speak in terms of power for some time, in some areas of the world, yes, that's true. But if you speak about light of God, we do not think that many things which happened in the history of Islam were really guided by inspiration, by divine inspiration, so to speak, by guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that there was, at the same time, there were three big Muslim kingdoms, the Fatimids, the Abbasids, and the Umayyads in Spain, and at some time the Buwayyids in Persia. Four big Muslim powers were fighting against each other. Which one of them were the light of God being perfected? You cannot say that. Okay, this is what Sayyid Qutb said. Fakhruddin al-Razi, my favorite Ash'ari theologian. I say my favorite because he is really one of those people who scrutinizes concepts, heresizing in every aspect, if you... And that's why he's somehow hated by Ahlul Hadith, saying that he brings lots of these discussions, which are philosophical discussions, into Kalam. And also, of course, he's dubbed as Imam al-Mushakkikin, the Imam of everyone who doubts in everything. Now, this is a 6th century theologian and mufassir. Now, he provides a deeper analysis of the verse in his Mafatih al-Ghayb. This is his tafsir. He says, prevalence over something could be by proof or through abundance, or by dominance. Now, when Allah says, لَيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينَ كُلِّهِ, what does He mean? Does He mean that He gives so much proof that all other religions are defeated in terms of proof? Or it means it gives you so much abundance in population that then everyone, every other religion would fade away compared to Muslims? Or does it mean it gives dominance to Muslims? لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. What does it mean? Then he says that prevailing for proof did happen at the time of the prophets, and it didn't need a promise, because the very person of the prophet was the dominance of proof. So this doesn't need a promise for future. Therefore, what is left as the fulfillment of this promise is other kinds of prevailing. Now, he gives five possible interpretations for this prevalence, the most plausible of which is what he reports from Abu Huraira. I don't want to bore you with other explanations which he gives. They are not very plausible, but it is the most plausible from Abu Huraira and from Suddi. Suddi was a student of Ibn Abbas, a mufassir from the Tabu'un. He says that رُوِيَ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ هَذَا وَعْدٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ بِأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى يَجْعَلُ الْإِسْلَامَ عَالِيًا عَلَى جَمِيعِ الْأَدْيَانِ. It's reported from Abu Huraira that this is a promise from God to make Islam prevalent over all religions, and this will only be realized fully at the advent of Jesus. And As-Suddi has said that this is realized at the advent of Mahdi. No one would remain but entering in Islam or paying tax. Now, when we come to the time of Mahdi, we would discuss that we have in many traditions that still the Jews would be Jews and Christians would be Christians. It's not the case that everyone would enter Islam. This is very interesting. These religions are going to go on and on until the Day of Judgment. Even at the time of Mahdi, what the verses and the traditions tell us is that then everyone would be subordinate to his rule. And if they do not convert to Islam, they pay jizya, they pay tax. Whether we accept these traditions or not, we will analyze this when we come to the time of Mahdi alayhi salam, what happens at his time, and whether Jews and Christians and other religions. What we have is that he gives security to all to have their own thoughts, their own beliefs about God. But he cannot force people, of course. He can dominate, but he cannot force la ikraha fi din. You cannot force hearts. The heart could not be forced for religion. And this is what As-Suddi says in a tradition, that everyone would either enter Islam or they pay tax. Of course, this is somehow contradicted with some other traditions which say that Islam would enter every house. As I said, we will analyze this later on, inshallah. Now, this type of interpretation is the dominant interpretation of the verse in both Shi'i and Sunni books of tafsir, of this verse. That لَيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينَ كُلَّهِ means at the time of Mahdi alayhi salam. However, there are at the time of Umar ibn Abbasi, you know, many people claim to be Mahdi, especially Mahdi al-Abbasi, for example, and we had other Mahdis from Zaydis as well, they claimed to be Mahdi, and since they were fighting, people were trying to deny even the concept of Mahdi. Therefore, there are some traditions which say, لا مهدي إلا عيسى بن مريم. There is no Mahdi except Isa. We believe that there is a fulfillment at the end of the time, and as these verses say, but it is only Jesus coming, there is no one else from Ahlul Bayt. Now, this contradicts the mutawatir traditions that we have. However, here you see Abu Huraira doesn't say at the time of Mahdi, he says at the time of Isa, and the Khuruj Isa. And they are together. I mean, Isa and Mahdi are together, but we have some of these traditions coming like that. This view is the view of almost all exegetes from Ahlus Sunnah regarding this verse, that this will be fulfilled at the time of Mahdi or Isa alayhi salam. So there is no argument about the implication of the verse, that it implies that something should happen in the future. It hasn't happened yet. Those who say this happened at the time of the four caliphs, and then it ceased and we have to wait for it again, they just do it out of respect for the four caliphs. Otherwise, how could it be possible that the companions, some companions come and murder Uthman, and some companions fight against Ali, and still we say that the religion has prevailed at the time of the four caliphs? Now, we have to pass this because these are those five interpretations that are not translated because I don't want to bore you. Many exegetes have reported the following hadith as an explanation of this verse. وَرَوَى الْمِقْدَادِ It's Miqdad, the famous companion of the Prophet. قَالَ سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَا يَبْقَى عَلَى ظَهْرِ الْأَرْضِ بَيْتُ مَدَرٍ وَلَا وَبَرٍ إِلَّا أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ كَلِمَةَ الْإِسْلَامِ إما بإذ عزيز أو ذل ذليل. Miqdad said, I heard the Prophet saying that no house or no tent would remain on the earth unless Allah would bring the faith of Islam into it, either by dignifying an honorable person, a Muslim, or by humiliating an abased one. Anyone who wants to defy or fight against it, Allah would humiliate them. He either dignifies them by making them a Muslim or humiliates them by forcing them to submit to it and pay jizya or whatever. I said then the religion would be totally for Allah. This is the tafsir of Baghawi, a 5th century Sunni scholar who has brought this under the verse. And he said this hadith is reported by Ahmad ibn Hanbal and Ibn Hibban and Ibn Mandah and many other traditions. There are ample hadiths and arguments in Shi'i sources referring the verse to the time of Mahdi. There is no disagreement about Shi'i exegetes that this verse refers to time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. For example, Sayyid Hashim al-Bahrani in Tafsir al-Burhan mentions the hadith from As-Saduq from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. في قوله عز وجل هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق والله ما نزل تأويلها بعد ولا ينزل تأويلها حتى يخرج القائم. I swear by God, Imam Ja'far Sadiq says, the interpretation of this verse has not come true yet and will not come true until the Qa'im comes forth. This is the standard view of all the A'immah. And you will see that all A'immah have mentioned this, that this verse, the ta'wil, because ta'wil has different meanings. Sometimes ta'wil means the realization of something. So, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا ta'wilah? Do they expect but the ta'wil of all these things that we say about the Qiyamah means, do they expect but the realization of all these? It will come true. And when we say the ta'wil of this verse will not come true, it means it is not realized, it will not be realized until the time of Qa'im. Tabrisi in Majmu' al-Bayan. Of course, usually we say Tabarsi as a wrong Mashhadi sort of pronunciation, but it's Tabrisi. Tabrisi in Majmu' al-Bayan refers from Ubadah al-Asadi, that he heard Ali alayhi salam saying after reciting the verse, and this is a very well-known hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen, when he recited هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق, Ubadah said, I asked him, أذهر ذلك بعد حديث من غير عين, because we did not see this happen. It was all wars and fighting and all these things going on. She said, sorry, Amirul Mu'min, after reciting this verse, asked Ubadah, asked Ubadah, Azahara Zalika Ba'du, do you think this has come real us? And people who were there around him, قالوا نعم, قال عليه السلام, كلا. No, this is not true. فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ حَتَّى لَا تَبْقَى قَرْيَةٌ. Has this come true yet? They said yes. He said, no, I swear by the one in whose hand is my life, it will not come true until no city is left unless the witness to La ilaha illallah is called in it in the morning and in the evening. That means Islam should be universal. This is the ta'wil of this verse. Also, Allama Majlisi reports from Abu Basir, who said, I asked Imam al-Sadiq regarding this verse. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَىٰ. And he said, I swear by God, the ta'wil of this verse has not descended yet. It means Allah has not decreed that this should happen yet. I said, may I be your ransom, when will it descend, the ta'wil of it? He said, when the qa'im rises, inshallah. That is when the ta'wil of this verse will come. Okay, this is the first verse. It's very clear. You go to any tafsir, Shia and Sunni, they say this, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق. And you remember in the previous session or the first session, we talked about the views of Rashid Reza, and all his discussions were actually around this verse, trying to say that what all the exegetes have already understood is wrong. And that shows that there was no disagreement about the exegetes that this is the meaning of the verse, alluding to the time of Mahdi alayhi salam. Okay. The second verse. وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْعَرْضِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ. This is in Surah Qasas. And we desire to show favor to those who are abased in the land, and to make them imams, and to make them the heirs. This is of course about Banu Israel. And to establish them in the land, and to show Pharaoh and Haman and their hosts from them that of which they were apprehensive, from these mustad'afun. To show them, Pharaoh and Haman, from these mustad'afun, something which they were afraid of. Now you might say, well, this is very clear, it's about Banu Israel. Why do you say that this might allude to the concept of Mahdi alayhi salam? Because it is a continuous irada. وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا. Our continuous will is based on this. That anyone who is abased and have rights to prevail. And right, of course, in Allah's meaning of right, not in our meaning of right, we will help them. And of course, because here Musa and Harun were abased, they prevailed, and Banu Israel prevailed with them. It was not because Banu Israel, it was because Musa and Harun. And therefore, many traditions from the Prophet and from Aima say that this is not only about Banu Israel, Quran runs through generations. And this is a continuous irada from Allah, that anyone who is abased, anyone who is mustada'af, is trodden down, we will help them. Of course, if they are pious, not if they are oppressors themselves, if they come up. Now, Rawiya an Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, annahu qal, hum alu Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's reported from Amir al-Mu'minin that they are, these mustad'afun, are alu Muhammad. Allah will send their Mahdi after their hardship and will honor them and humiliate their enemies. This is what Allah does. Now, in many verses of the Quran, you will see that things which are about regarding the past history, A'imma say, this is about us. For example, in the Quran, we say, in Surah Anbiya, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا what is the verse? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوهِي إِلَيْهِمْ فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُ. We, before you, did not send any messenger unless they were men like you, like them. And we revealed things to them. They shouldn't think that angels should come. This has been our sunnah. The men came with messages. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ. Go and ask these people who have books. The Jews, the Christians, ask them. They had prophets. Were they prophets, not men? فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ. أَهْلُ الذِّكْرِ here are Christians and Jews, أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ. However, the A'imma said, نَحْنُ أَهْلُ الذِّكْرِ. We are أَهْلُ الذِّكْرِ. It doesn't mean that the apparent meaning doesn't apply. It means that when Allah says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ, أَهْلُ الذِّكْرِ, the more subtle meaning is that anyone who has knowledge, go and ask. And we have knowledge. And therefore we are Ahl al-Dhikr. And therefore when here Amir al-Mu'mineen says, نُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعُفُوا دِينَ آلَ مُحَمَّدٍ, it doesn't deny it with regard to others. Any prophets in the past who was oppressed, were mustad'af, Allah would have helped them. And therefore here, Allama Tawatawai on the line of other Shia exegesis uses a concept, a term, which is very interesting here. It says this is Membab al-Jariyah. It means that it is an instance of it. It runs in this as well as running in other instances. And here when Amir al-Mu'min says these Mustad'afun are Ala Muhammad, no one should come out and say, well, this is again the clear indication of the verse. No, yes, that's true. The indication of the verse is about Banu Israel. But it runs in Ali Muhammad as well. In future, in present, it runs in them. So this is the meaning of whom Ali Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also, At-Tusi, Shaykh At-Tusi in his tafsir At-Tibyan, Rawa qawmun min ashabina, إِنَّ الْآيَةَ نَزَلَتْ فِي شَأْنِ الْمَهْدِي عَجَّلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَرَجَهُ الشَّرِيفِ. Shaykh At-Tusi said in this, in his tafsir, that a group of our scholars have reported that this verse is revealed regarding Mahdi and that God will show him his favor after he is abased. Abased in the sense that he is overpowered by others and he cannot do anything, and will make him a dominant imam and will give him all that is controlled by the oppressors. And in Nahj al-Balagha, now this adage in Nahj al-Balagha is very, very interesting and is widely reported. It's not only in Nahj al-Balagha, in many other books the adage is reported. Adage number 209. Waqala alayhi salam, very beautiful, of course, as we expect from Amir al-Mu'mineen, the standard of eloquence is completely clear. I mean, you can realize this is Nahj al-Balagha, this is not other hadith. لَتَعْتَفَنَّ الدُّنْيَا عَلَيْنَا بَعْدَ شَمَاسَهَا أَطْفَ الظَّرُوسَ عَلَى وَلَدْهَا وَتَلَى عَقِيبَ ذَلِكَ وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْعَارِضِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ. The world will turn back to us after its unruliness, like attendance of a rowdy camel to its child. The world is somehow simulated to a rowdy camel which has run away from Ahlul Bayt, and it will come back like this camel going to its child. Then he recited, and we desire to show favor to those who are abased in the land and to make them imam and to make them the heirs. Now, As I said, this tradition has been reported widely through several chains of transmissions. Commenting on this hadith, Ibn Abi al-Hadid, who died 656. This is a very standard date, because that's the downfall of the Abbasids. That's the downfall of the whole Islamic empire, isn't it, by Mongols, so 656. And the same year he passed away, and he was the last Mu'tazili scholar. Of course, there were later on some Mu'tazili scholars in Yemen and other places, but they were not prominent. This is the last prominent Mu'tazili scholar, and it's very ironic. I laugh whenever I think about it. The Mu'tazila went away, disappeared, as the Islamic Empire disappeared. In the same year, the last Mu'tazili scholar passed away. And of course, he was arrested several times. Hulaku wanted to kill him, and Nasiruddin mediated. He didn't let him to be killed, and lots of different stories he had. Now, commenting on the Hadith, Ibn Abi al-Hadith, the Shafi'i Mu'tazili commentator of Nahjul Balagha. This Shafi'i Mu'tazili commentator is very unique in his love for Ali. You can see this in his commentary on Nahjul Balagha. Whenever it comes to Ali, whenever he talks about Ali, you see love coming out of his pen, really. He says that the Imamiyya, that us, believe that this is a promise from Imam Ali regarding an Imam who is in occultation and will dominate the earth at the end of the time. However, the scholars of our school, that's Mu'tazili, believe that this is a promise regarding an Imam who will rule the earth and conquer all kingdoms. Now, an Imam for them, of course, is Mahdi, which, of course, is not in occultation, is not yet born. That's, of course, the view of all Ahlul Sunnah. And also, we have Iman al-Akhbar al-Saduq and al-Hakim al-Hasakani al-Hanafi fi Shawahid al-Tanzil. Now, I think we have to break for Salah, and maybe we leave these for next week. I don't think we can finish it this week, because then we have question and answer. So we have a couple of more verses to discuss. Maybe we leave it for next session, not next week, because I will not be here next week. So for next session, inshallah. And then we see if there are not many questions, we can continue with this, inshallah. Okay? بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على محمد وعلى الطاهرين If you allow me, just we continue with these few verses for a few minutes, and then inshallah we have time for questions and answers. I was saying regarding the second verse, وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. There is a tradition reported from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, and this tradition is reported by both Saduq in Ma'an al-Akhbar and Al-Hakim al-Hasakani, who is a famous Hanafi traditionist, and he was contemporary of Sheikh al-Tusi. He has a book dedicated to whatever is revealed about Ahlul Bayt in the Quran, and that is Shawahid al-Tanzil fi Qawa'id al-Tafzil li Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, something like that. We will see the full name of it. It's famous as Shawahid al-Tanzil. Now, Mufazzal, the famous companion of Imam Sadiq, Mufazzal ibn Umar, he says that I heard Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq saying that, let me go to translation directly, we don't have much time. The Prophet, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Ali and al-Hasan and al-Husayn, peace be on them, and cried and said, أنتم المستضعفون بعدي. You are the abased after me. And, well, of course, we know that this came true, isn't it? Well, about coming from the reverse order, about Hussein, we know how he was a mustad'af. About Hassan, how he was a mustad'af, peace be on them. And about Amirul Mumin, how he was a mustad'af. those people who paid allegiance to him, fought against him. So what type of assets are more than this? You are the abase after me. Now Mufassal didn't understand what does this mean that the Prophet told Ali and Hassan and Hussein alayhi wa salam, Antumul Mustad'afuna Ba'di. I asked, what is the meaning of that? The Imam said, it means that you are the Imams after me. And this is somehow very difficult to understand, because Mustad'af, what's the relationship between Mustad'afun and A'imma? Then Imam wrote this verse. وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً مُسْتَضْعَفُونَ. Of course, the righteous مُسْتَضْعَفُون, this should not be forgotten. The righteous مُسْتَضْعَفُون will be made أَئِمَّةً. Here, the Imam said, it means that you are the Imams after me, for Allah the Almighty says, and we desire to show favor to those who are amazed in the land, and to make them Imam, and to make them the heirs. Now let's go to the third verse. The third verse, which is usually mentioned, is in Surah An-Nur. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Now this is more, this is clearly an indication. Let's look at the verse. Allah has promised those of you who have faith and do righteous deeds that He will surely make them successful in the earth, just as He made those who were before them successful. And He will surely establish for them their religion, which He has approved for them. And that He will surely change their state to security after their fear, while they worship Me, not ascribing any partners to Me, that the pure Tawheed will be established. And whoever is ungrateful after that, it is they who are the transgressors. Now, look at this. Emphatic surely here. There are six letters of emphasis here. This is very amazing how Allah has put emphasis on this promise. La yastakhlifannahum. This lam and noon both are for emphasis. La yastakhlifannahum. And then la yumakkinanna, lam and noon again. La yubaddilannahum, but lam and noon again, which are letters of emphasis. Look at the six emphatic letters used in this verse. Three lams and three noons, telling us that this verse surely has not been fulfilled yet. Because this surely means that it will happen, and we haven't seen this happen. So surely this verse has not been fulfilled yet, and it should be fulfilled later. We certainly cannot regard the Umayyad or the Abbasids or the Ottomans or the Safavids to be the fulfillment of this promise. Nowhere in the history of Islam we could see this promise to come true. Therefore, we should seek the fulfillment somewhere else. Now, one possible interpretation would be that the promise was fulfilled at the time of the prophets and the first four caliphs. Okay. What did the verse say again? It said that Allah has promised those of you who have faith and do righteousness that He will surely make them successors in the earth. لَا يَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ. And He will surely establish for them their religion. And He will surely change their state to security after their fear. Now some say, well, this fear and security is relative. I mean, they were insecure in Mecca, they became secure in Medina. And therefore, or then they returned to Mecca in security and conquered Mecca. This is the fulfillment of this verse. But I think this is playing the implication of this verse down to a great extent. This verse is very strong. It says that we will put, of course, Alladina آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. That's very important, because we did not see the Umayyad kings or Abbasid kings or Safavid kings of being الَّذِينَ آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات. They were not that righteous that the verse is talking about. That is why the verse has been interpreted in Shi'i sources to allude to the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Now, Tabrizi argues for this view, the Shi'i view in Majmu' al-Bayan, that why we say this verse is only fulfilled at the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. He says, after reporting the hadith from Ubay ibn Ka'b regarding the cause of revelation of this verse, and speculating about the land, the earth mentioned in the verse, whether it is Medina or Mecca or this world or the whole dunya or next world or akhirah, he says, this world as a whole, a dunya or next world. Because Ubay ibn Ka'b says that when we were in Medina, people were attacking us from every side, we did not put our arms down. And we were very insecure. And then we said that would it be possible that there will be a time where we could securely have our faith, practice our faith, and no one would attack us? Then this verse was revealed. And that meant that, yes, Islam prevailed and Muslims were in security. However, it might be true about this part of the verse, لَا يُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا. But what about يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرَكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. They only worship me. They do only righteous things. This we do not see as a whole in Muslim history. Now, this is of course the method of Tabrizi in Majmu' al-Bayan. He brings all views from all tabi'un, all companions, Sunni scholars, Shia scholars, and then he gives his own view. Now, look what he says. He says that there is a hadith from Ubay ibn Ka'b in this regard, and there are different views whether this land لَيَحْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, make them successful in the land in Medina or in Mecca. Arz, of course, is earth. However, it might allude to a particular piece of land as well. Or some people say it means that after they were insecure in dunya, they will become secure in akhirah. It says, let me just go to translation. There are disagreements about the meaning of the verse. Some believe that it is specifically revealed regarding the companions of the Prophet. Some, like Ibn Abbas and Mujahid, his students, believe that it is generally true about the Ummah of Muhammad, peace be upon him. However, what is reported from Ahlul Bayt is that it is about Al-Mahdi from Ali Muhammad. And he continues saying that Ayyashi, one of the ancient exegetes, has reported from Imam Ali ibn Hussein, Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, that after reciting this verse he said, I swear by God, these are the followers of us Ahlul Bayt, those who will be successors. God will bring this truth for them on the hands of a man from us, who is the Mahdi of this Ummah. He is the one about whom the Prophet said, if even one day is left of this world, this is a unanimously accepted hadith by all Sunni and Shia scholars, if even one day is left of this world, Allah will prolong that one day until a man from my household would govern, whose name is as mine. He will fill the earth with justice and equity after it is filled with injustice and oppression. Now, this is what Imam Zain al-Abidin said. And like this has been reported from Imam al-Baghir and Imam al-Sadiq, Tabrizi says. And then he continues saying that, and this meaning is the one on which the pure household, al-Itratu al-Tahira, has consensus. And their consensus is abiding proof, because of the statement of the Prophet, I leave with you two precious things, the Book of God and my household. They do not pass until they meet me as a host. Now, this is again a unanimously accepted hadith. He brings the argument that no one from Ahlul Bayt has given any other interpretation from this verse. And since they are with Quran all the time, they know the interpretation, and therefore this is the two interpretations that this will happen at the time of Mahdi alayhi salam. Moreover, he continued, the establishment in the earth has not taken place fully in the past, and hence it should be expected in the future, because Allah shall not break His promise, and it should be fulfilled fully. Al-Hakim al-Hasakani, the Hanafi scholar we mentioned before, and Al-Hafiz al-Qunduzi al-Hanafi, another Hanafi scholar who is more recent scholar, died 1294, Islamic calendar of course, from Ahlul Sunnah have reported the same position in their books Shawahid al-Tanzil and Yanabi'ul Mawadda. Now this Hakim and Hafiz, just to give you some acquaintance with these hadith terminologies, this is of course I mentioned just in passing, terminology used by usually Sunni traditionists, not by Shia traditionists. A muhaddith is a person who knows traditions and is considered a scholar in the field. This we call a muhaddith. If a muhaddith knows 100,000 hadiths with their chains and is able to analyze them, of course not in memory, there were people in the past who knew 100,000 hadiths, who knew it by heart, and all the chains of transmission, nuances in the chain and these things, but these were very rare. Someone who has actually collected these traditions, 100,000, and has the ability to analyze the chain and the text is called Hafiz. Then after that comes Al-Hujja, is a muhaddith who knows 300,000 hadith in the manner above. Now you might say, did Prophet actually speak this much? 300,000 traditions. We know that the traditions which have come in Sahih books are, if you put all of them together, would not exceed 30,000-40,000. So there was abundance in traditions which were not accepted. However, they were recorded later on, and they were collected. And those traditions which were not collected because they were very weak, they were reported from heart to heart. Al-Hakim is a muhaddith who knows all the traditions. There is no tradition that he is unaware of. That is called like Al-Hakim al-Nishaburi, for example, who wrote Mustadrak al-Sahih. Now these two men that I mentioned, these two scholars, one Al-Hakim al-Hasakani, now you know why we call him Hakim, because he was aware of all traditions. And Al-Hafiz al-Qunduzi, of course his scholarly degree was a bit slower than Al-Hakim. Now, the fourth verse, very quickly, وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ in Surah Anbiya, indeed my righteous servants will inherit the earth. Certainly we wrote in the Psalms, we wrote in the Psalms after the Torah, indeed my righteous servants shall inherit the earth. Now, the argument regarding this verse is more clear. Whatever, because there are different interpretations of Zabur and Zikr. Some say that Zikr is name of God after giving the most essential part of belief, that's Tawheed. Then we wrote in Zabur that there will be a savior at the end of the time. Or Zikr, the most common interpretation, Zikr was Torah and Zabur was Psalms. That means after we mentioned this in Torah, we mentioned it in Psalms as well, and by implication in all other books of prophets, we mentioned that the righteous servant shall inherit the earth. Now, the implication of this verse, as I said, is more clear. Analyzing the verse, one would realize that an issue that Allah mentioned in previous books, as well as in the Quran, well, this is a mention though, isn't it? Should have been a very important revelation alluding to a very important event. أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرَثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ The earth shall be inherited by my righteous servants. The exegetes have mentioned different meanings for the earth, And for the righteous servants in this verse, like the earth being the paradise and the righteous being the Muslims, or the earth being their land conquered by Muslims in their historic battles, which is, of course, not very pleasant interpretation. However, the Imams have given the ultimate ta'wil of the verse. Shaykh al-Tusi again in Tabyan, fi tafsir al-ayah, in the explanation of this ayah from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, this is a promise from God to the believers that they will inherit the whole earth, not partly conquering part of the earth. أن الأرض يرثها, and this is not regarding آخرة, this dunya. يرثها عبادي الصالحون. And also separately again, in Majmu' al-Bayan, the quote from Imam al-Baqir that these are the companions of al-Mahdi. Again, this is Jariyah, this means it runs as the most clear instance in companions of Mahdi alayhi salam. Al-Hafiz al-Qunduzi has reported from al-Baqir and al-Sadiq alayhi salam that al-Mahdi and his companions are meant by the righteous servant in this verse. Okay, that's it. Little time for questions and comments, but please, you go ahead.
The first two lines on this side and the two from this first is not and the first two lines on this first piece of the content. Okay, brothers and sisters, we have 22 minutes for the question and answer. Anybody ready for this? Yes? Yeah. So, I just want to go back to the last session within the notes. There is a reference to Hassan al-Banna and the Muslim Brotherhood. Can you just, for a few seconds, please throw some light on this guy and what is the connection with the Prophet in the last seven notes?
Well, Muslim Brotherhood and Hassan al-Banna, I mentioned them because their mentor was Rashid Reza. And then we discussed the views of Rashid Reza. And just by passing, we mentioned Muslim Brotherhood and Hassan al-Banna. I was not very related to Islamic tradition.
Okay. Is this
Okay, when we look at these verses, for example, if we look at the third verse, and just as a superficial view of it, you could actually read that and interpret that for the believer. So that if Allah is saying that if you have faith and you do righteous things, then Allah promises to make you the successor.
Yeah.
So how do we make that association of this is really for the righteous rather than the believer?
The third verse, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Well, عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ is, of course, alluding to righteous. So it's both. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. It's Amal al-Salat is the righteous one, of course. And by the believer, if you only mean the Muslims, there is no such a promise by Allah to any believer without Amal al-Salat so to be supported or whatever. It's always Amal al-Salat, righteousness, which goes hand in hand with faith, which would bring the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't know whether I have addressed you or you were asking something else.
No, I think, I mean, if a believer feels that they're striving towards their righteousness, and they would interpret that with the following statement to sort of imply to them, as an individual, to say that now that's one to the earth and so on and so forth.
Oh, individually?
Yes, individually.
No, because this istikhlaf al-ard is something which goes back to Ummah collectively. individually, it's not possible that people have this istikhlas, that means they get the power in the earth, and this usually has not been something promised to individuals. We see prophets, for example, they were quite righteous, but most of them were downtrodden, were oppressed. However, if the ummah of these prophets helped them, then of course Allah gave that power to them. I haven't seen any exegetes not relating this to collective type of istikhlas rather than to individuals.
In the third verse it mentions that just as he made those who are the cause of successes, who is it referring to? Are these people before the time of the prophet, or is it referring to something else?
Yeah, mainly it's Banu Israel, who actually did have that istikhlas, because it's very clearly mentioned in the Quran that وَأَوْرَثْنَا الَّذِينَ كَانُوا يُسْتَضْعَفُونَ مَشَارِقَ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبَهَا. Those who were downtrodden, مُسْتَضْعَفُونَ. This is clearly referring to Musa and Harun and their people. We gave the west and east of the land to them. So this is referring to Musa and Harun, certainly, that they were the ones who were given the land. And that is why this idea of promised land came from, where the idea came, that Allah said, I will give you this land. Of course, provided you follow, you continue following Musa and Harun. Yusha had the land after Musa and Harun passed away. However, they lost it because they lost that faith and righteousness. Now, here, of course, Allah is alluding to people in the past who partially could have this istikhlas. But the promise is very general and holistic, so to speak. That we will do this. You have seen that this has happened in the past, we will do this in the future as well.
Any other questions before we come to the I think in the past, in the first or second lesson, passing by mention of Dajjal, does Dajjal have some meaning, or is a person?
Dajjal, we have to spend one session on him. Don't worry.
Any other questions? Yeah, I can go for it.
Not a question, Sheikh, but rather an observation. I think it's quite useful when we see statements from the scholars of the Islamic Republic who refer to this ayah that this is a strive which the people of that country have towards the Holy Imam. They mention this ayah very important, where they say that the, like the successors who were before, were favored by Allah, and that if we hold on to the path, then we also can go. So that would be relating to that first question about we seeing people who, and a whole institution and a country in this case, striving with this higher motto.
Inshallah, we will hand that country to Imam, inshallah, Imam Mahdi.
Question from sisters before we finish? No?
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد.